Okay. Olivia Baer. Kelly Brown. Andrea Copeland. Christina Eastwood. Chris Engel.
Here.
Okay, Lisa, if you're here, can you tell me how to say your last name?
Lisa, not here.
Okay. Emily Kilroy.
Here.
Eva Lisa Crick.
Here.
Jennifer Lyman.
Here.
Zach Roberts.
Here.
Danny Shea.
Here.
Amber Smith.
I want you to go.
Yep.
Sorry. That's fine.
Brad Wolf.
Here.
Juanita Wade.
Here. Okay, so our industry presentation today will be from the show.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, guys. I think I've seen every single one of you five different times in five different places. Yeah. I'm just doing the dance everywhere I can go. Yeah. But we really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you guys today. We're watching things the way that you're probably watching things. We're watching fuel. We're monitoring the airlines as the cost of fuel just continues to get higher. But I'll tell you a cool little fact we learned today. So Delta has cut about 1.3% of their service routes because of the fuel. The other smaller airlines are starting to do it, but Delta being one of the legacy carriers, you kind of want to see what Delta and American are going to do. They cut 1.3%. They have 303 stations globally, Delta does, and show grew 6% with Delta. So in the middle of all that, that shows you the response our community has to our airport. So when I talk about growth, I'm talking about the amount of seats that they have. So what a great opportunity for us as we work with the airlines, and we have a responsive community that uses the airport, that serves that community, that demonstrates how if you use it, you can grow it. If you don't use it, you lose it. And that's kind of where we are. I don't know if I do have a clip. You're going to roll it?
Yep.
That's fine. I'll just pop whatever you show behind me.
You don't
need to go. I'll make this one quick. August 17th, 1955. This was our first flight to Washington, D.C. We had two starting out, and then it quickly became four. It was a bus route back in the day. This thing started somewhere down in North Carolina and bounced seven times before it got to D.C., but the good news is we were the last stop, so that means we had a direct to D.C. So that was the beginning. If you keep going, that was the beginning of where we are. We have served, you can hit it again, we served 10 counties. Oh, let's go back on. I don't know what happened. There was a number there. I'm going to have to tell you what I think it was. I think it was close to 800,000 total passengers. We're right near that 2019 year. Hey, come on in. Welcome. We are not record-breaking right now, but we're very close to our record-breaking year last year. So, again, post-COVID, we can now say we have fully recovered from COVID. The 10 counties that we serve, and we go to, with all three legacy carriers, and this is super important that if you walk out of here, the airport size for CHO, normally you would not see all three legacy carriers, you see two. United, they've been doing a lot of things lately, but for the most part, you'll get two of the carriers trying to get to two of the hubs, and we've got three of the carriers, and we've got five places that we connect to, all the major carriers on the East Coast, to include Chicago. Chicago is an important connection for us. It's our second top demand hub, and it's a 2010 SCASD grant recipient, and that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today as well. Continue, please. So I'm going to step out of the way. Here are where everyone's trying to go to from our community, so our 10 counties. So these are our top 20 markets last year. You see Boston's at 5, and you can also see the bigger cities, which is very unique to our community, that LA and San Francisco are 6 and 7. Again, markets our size normally will have one or the other. We have both, and they're in our top 10. Florida's in there 3 or 4 times. We have a lot of demand. By region, Florida is our number one underserved region. By airport, Boston is our most underserved. But you can see Denver's crept up about 18,000. I will point to you a little skewed numbers. New York, by far, is our strongest connection to Charlottesville. 90,000 people went to New York through CHO, but then how many more drove and took a train and everything else? But it drops dramatically between New York and Chicago. It's almost half of that. So New York is why, when people ask, in airports do ask, how do you have 5 New Yorks? It's because there's a strong connection from the community of Charlottesville to New York. Okay. We're very proud that we have about close to 400 daily operations. That's huge. That's a big deal. That keeps me up at night. We have one runway and we have one taxiway. But San Diego shows us how to do it. They're the largest one runway, one single taxiway type of an operation. It just means that we have to be very careful as to how everything is built. I'm not here to talk to you today about, I don't think we're here today to talk to you about the future. And by the way, Roy Van Dorn, our commissioner, is here today. Just make sure that I do it all right. We're not talking future infrastructure, but we'll be coming back to talk a little bit about infrastructure over the next 10 years. But the reason I say that is that our terminal, in the way that it was put down in 1950s to 2000, or 1991, is too close to everything. And so we have a lot of activity. 370 aircraft are moving along this taxiway and using the runway. It's a pretty big deal. Okay? We punch above our weight class. There's about 580 commercial airports, and we are the 163rd busiest. Again, so I mean, it's really cool. We're just very proud of these little stats that we can provide. Okay? This just came out. So we are self-sufficient. 1984, we became an airport authority. Before that, we were owned by the city and county, primarily ran by the city. All of the positions that were hired out at CHO were city employees. It's fun to go back and read minutes from the city and county days of the 50s because the county and city were arguing over who was going to provide the pickup truck for the airport if they needed a pickup truck. It's come a long way. The airport was begging for a pickup truck with a snowplow for 5 years, I felt like. And I would like to know, Juan Diego, why could we not get a truck with a snowplow? But they did get one. In fact, we got a whole bunch now. So we're good.
We could have used it this February.
But without that local tax dollar support, we generated $501 million. We do have two big funding mechanisms. One is the FAA and one is the Department of Aviation. Virginia is very lucky to have the Department of Aviation program. And they're both aviation-funded tools. So jet fuel, our fuel tax, aircraft property taxes, these are the ways that by through the federal and the state we can get projects done. The federal project, we get about $8 million a year. It's considered entitlements. But those things can't be for things that help make money. They like for us to go out and make our own money. So these are things like they want us to protect the runway, the taxiway, things of that nature. Things like parking lots and new restaurants, that's up to us to figure out how to pay for it. 50% of how we make our money is our parking lot. I say again, 50% is how we make our money is the parking lot. So we thank you when you fly and you pay for parking. We really appreciate it. And for those of you that are driving over the grass, we've been watching. We got some tire tracks. And while I'm out here, my officers are outside right now checking these vehicles. We might come talk to you. But we appreciate all of you. And then there's about 3,000 jobs that are indirectly. And this goes everyone that's working at CHO all the way to the pet store in Stanton, Virginia that uses a daily supply through our airport, through our airline. We do not have air cargo anymore. We did back in the early 2000s, but we do utilize air cargo by way of commercial airlines. This is what we are out in the community talking about. We're very excited. We decided to go public. A couple months ago, we were like, Chicago, I was part of Chicago in 2010, and we were trying to connect business travel to Chicago. So we were talking to banks, we were talking to the people who we felt were connected. But at the end of the day, we were writing it up like it was a community endeavor. It was the community had got together and said, we want to get to Chicago, how do we do it? This time, we felt like there was just too much support or requests for Boston that we thought, let's just go public with it, let's figure it out together. Let's figure out how we're going to get to Boston. What we can do is provide the statistics. What we know, and the reason why we're very excited about it, is that we know that although there's only 17,000, I say only, but there's 17,000 people using CHO to get to Boston, there are 40,000 additional people riding around us to get there by way of Washington and Richmond. And so we know the magic number to get an airline interested, to begin with, is about 50,000 annually. And so we know that if we have about 40 going somewhere else and 17 of ours, we're already at 60, and we haven't even, that's just talking about people already going. We're not talking about people who think, oh, well, there's a direct to Boston, I'll go check out. So we're very excited that we're at the right place for the amount of people that are trying to get to Boston from those 10 counties. So what that means is for every one CHO passenger, there's about 2.3 using other airports. I didn't mention 17 other people, it's totally fine. We have a leakage issue, and we're going to resolve that. We've got three contenders. We think that Delta is the best airline to provide that service. However, It's interesting that we're learning that Americans seem to have a bigger stronghold in Charlottesville and Surrounding Community than Delta does. Not that that means we would want to choose one over the other. We like Delta only because it seems as if their fleet was providing opportunity for us to kind of take an aircraft. For us to get Boston service, we have to go into Delta and we have to explain to them why we need that aircraft that might be used in some other, anywhere in the United States. It could be an Idaho airport. We're going to find a top 10 airports that aren't doing very well, and we're going to remind them how bad they're doing, and we need to get that aircraft put in Charlottesville. So Delta seems to be a contender for us, and Americans right behind them. To be quite honest with you guys, as of today, we have more traction with American than we do with Delta. Delta does what Delta does. They kind of watch the distance and say, listen, we're growing to Atlanta. Are you not happy with Atlanta? We got maybe LaGuardia. What else do you, you know, but they are saying, we're interested. And Americans looking at it more like, I mean, Boston is doing well. We're trying to compete with Delta, so maybe we chose one of those ways. So we're getting that initial contact with the airlines that we need. JetBlue has a strong presence in Boston, but it would be quite the challenge. We would have to start a whole new group of employees and equipment, everything at show, and that's always tough and it's always expensive. Mm-hmm. So the biggest thing you walk away from today is this number right here, and that is that for every segment, so if you consider a round trip of Boston-Charlottesville, annually generates that much money here. So it's creating $21 million of spend here in our community where we have that leg. And it's important. It's super important for the route itself to be successful. All right. I'm going to talk a little bit as fast as I can about what we're doing. We're creating that market demand. I just told you guys we're trying to figure out what aircraft works and how it's going to fit. And then we're going to talk about gauge slot availability. One of the little slick tricks that we're doing right now is that we know that Delta has a problem in Boston at night. We know that they have a problem parking the amount of aircraft they're trying to feed into Boston. So our little cute idea is that we'd like Delta to send their plane down here to park at night. We are a short stage length. We're an hour and a half away. So they can send the plane down to Choke with people on it. We'll park it for them, and we'll send it back up in the morning full of people. Boom, we got our first flight, our first route. So we're working on some of those things with the airlines as we speak.
So a quick question.
Sir.
You said that we have 370 operations. So explain to me what is that, because I'm trying to do the math.
Yep.
370 planes landing and taking off.
The movement of aircraft is really what you need to think about. It's not necessarily parking. We get a lot of the military stuff, like that little baby AWACS, you guys might, that little baby aircraft, Navy plane that flies around, and everybody gets crazy about that thing. It might not park. In fact, it comes in sometimes. There's a lot of runway activity. It might come down the taxiway several times, but every single time it comes in and leaves, it's an operation for us. Flight Center would boost that up. So if you've got a little Cessna out there and it does 50 takeoffs and landings, we're going to add that to that number. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And is it fair to say when you say operations, you mean flights? Like the layman's terms of like it's 370 flights per day?
Not commercial flights. So it would be the aircraft.
All of the above?
Yeah, GA and commercial both. Yeah, okay. All of the above.
Okay.
So
I think the capacity of movements of operations are, I mean, if we're doing like 360 now, like how many do you think you could do?
What's the cap?
Oh, what is the cap of operations?
Yeah.
You ask me, I'll give you a high number. You ask my tower. My tower will tell you a whole different answer, but I think we're okay. The interesting thing about Charlottesville is it comes in waves. There are times you drive by the airport, you don't see anything happening out there. It's a very, very quiet time, and then there's a whole... Right after the snow, like after it snows and everyone's locked in for 2 or 3 days, the next day the sun's out, that's at least 100 of them in a day, the pilots that have aircraft, they want to go out there and check out the snow. I think we're okay. We're safe. We're not in a danger zone right now. You know, we say 380, we say 400. You could double that probably. You could probably get to 800 operations. My tower is not going to answer. Whoever's writing it down. My tower is going to tell you 100. The way that you get an airline's attention is with a minimum revenue guarantee. And that's basically a safety net. What we did with Chicago, we put together a package that included a whole lot of marketing and a whole lot of revenue guarantee. And what that means is we both agreed to an amount of what they expect to make off of the route. And then it takes about a year, 2 years to kind of come to fruition. And then they can say, look, we didn't make the money we wanted to. Interestingly, American Eagle with Chicago, the day of that kind of end date came to us and said, we didn't make the money. We're not making enough money here. And so we did pay the minimum revenue guarantee to them. and then the following week they tripled their service. So I'm not saying that they're going to tell us they're not making the money, but all of a sudden they went from not making money to making a whole lot of money. In fact, Chicago is going to 5 a day. So we used this opportunity to get one aircraft, the 44 seats into Charlottesville, and now we have 75-seat aircraft, first class, second class aircraft going to Chicago. But MRGs are a very important part of negotiating with the airlines as we work on a new service. To talk real quick about that thing we mentioned earlier. So the issue that we have inherited this issue, and that is that in 1955 we were created, 1960s we moved into the where we currently have our firehouse, and the building that you used today, we fly a show up in 1991. And in 1991, we were utilizing aircraft that were turboprop aircraft, Dash 8, if anybody's familiar with the old Dash 8, but all of our aircraft were turboprop. In fact, Atlanta Delta came in with the first regional jet, and we just blew our minds. We couldn't believe we had a jet coming to Charlottesville. That has since changed, and now everything is a jet. Not only is it a jet, the airlines aren't buying 50-seat jets anymore. They're looking at what the world's going to look like without 75-seat jets one day. So we're looking at larger aircraft serving communities. And as an airport, we have to be prepared for that. The way that we were built, the way I kind of mentioned how skinny we were, there's already some land issues and infrastructure issues. The good news is we have the ability to do things we need to do inside of our own property. So it's not like we have to go talk to Mr. Crutchfield and tell him we need to borrow half his front yard. We can do it inside of Dickerson. We can make it work. It's just it takes the vision, and it takes the team, and it takes the community to figure out how we're going to get it done. So we have a plan for the next 10 years. The issue that I will continue to tell everyone, I won't put this on the back of my suit and walk around because this is the most important slide I can show somebody. And this is Cho right now. This is Greensboro-Spartanburg, which happens to be one of the little all-star airports, perfectly built. Now, the FAA's consideration. So if you look at our runway, we've scaled ourselves to them, and you can see how far up we are. We are currently sitting where Greensboro has aircraft maneuvering area right here. We have none of that. We backed this plane back into a taxiway. That 380 operations that are happening, we're backing our commercial aircraft into that active taxiway, and that's our concern. So we know that the 717 that returns for Delta that adds to that growth I was talking about earlier, when that plane comes in and parks from the jet bridge, it's only a few feet away from that active taxiway. So it's just a safety issue that we are using with the FAA to figure out how to do it. And what we need to do is back show up a little bit. That's our goal. Our ultimate plan is to figure out how to. We were originally, when Linda was here, her plan was just to continue to add on to the short-term parking. That does not get us the distance that we need. We've got to get a little bit bolder in our plan. So more to come on this. We'll continue a little bit. I don't know how much I have in here. We're doing a lot of thinking. That's what this slide shows you. we're at the engineer and architect stage of what I would call pre-phase one, which is let's sit down and talk about what we want it to look like. We're going to have a lot of community involvement in this. We're going to have a lot of county and city involvement in this. We're going to figure this thing out, but we are seeing really cool opportunities. We're seeing opportunities to pull nature in. We're looking at things like the airports out west. I always do this. Boise. Come on, Roy, help me out. Boise, let's see, we have in Montana.
Bozeman.
Thank you, sir. Bozeman. Bozeman, something in Wyoming, Jackson Hole. So these airports did a great job. They took the environment they're in, pulled it in, and make you feel like you're at a sense of place. And that's one of our goals, is a sense of place. So we're doing a lot of thinking. We're thinking about jet bridges. We're thinking about concourse. We're thinking about how you park, for example. Because right now it's all open surface parking. We know that we need some garages out there, okay? And then ultimately, we want to just bring the best. We want to represent. We believe in our hearts that we are the front door to this community. We used to say the front porch, but we think we're the front door. We think that when people land here, we want them to have a feeling of where they're at. We don't want them to feel like they're processing through an old building. We don't want them to feel rusted equipment. This vision that you see here was a sort of a combined all-day effort of where we think we want to go. And these are the tops of four-story garages right here, right in front of the airport. We know that we need garages. We hear you loud and clear. And we also want those garages to feed you into the building underground so you're not crossing the street. So we have lots of dreams, lots of ideas. It's not cheap.
That's how you pay the bills, parking.
That's right. You're absolutely right. And also, we can bring the rental cars in, too, so they can help pay for that. I think that might be all we have in this slide. Oh, there we go on the back end. This is my kind of joke. I'm not going to have 20 Jeffreys. I think this thing goes forever, but the idea is to demonstrate that we understand that there's a catch-up. In 1980, they designed CHO, right? And in 1989, they reversed, what is it, an engineer's GPU out a little bit? They cut the cost.
Value
engineered us. So they value engineered CHO. They took everything with the rotund away from us. So that's what we have today. Now, we would like to have everything here to include connection to a community. We want to be part of Alamo County, and we want to be in a way that we are as strong a partner to the research park and as to the shopping centers and as to all the apartments and all the things that are happening up in Northern Alamo County. So we want to be a part of that. So, go show. That's what we're asking. That was the fastest one I've done so far.
Thank you.
I do want to thank you guys who provided us with support. The CNCDB was the anchor to this grant in 2010. I mean, you guys came strong. And in fact, it helped others to think, maybe we ought to help too. But we think you guys are also championing this one. So when we celebrate Boston, Courtney, we'll be working with you to ensure that we figure out how to put people on that plane.
Real quick.
Yep. Any questions for me? Yes, ma'am.
So this is the third time I've heard your presentation,
perfect.
And it's wonderful, and I love it.
Thank you.
I could keep hearing it over and over.
I love that.
I'm a big supporter. You were talking about when you said originally, you know, they went from CHO to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I'm thinking in Europe, and I know we don't have Ryanair and ATJ.
Right.
But they have these local flights. You mm-hmm. can go from the Brittany to Geneva, France, for less than $100.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, because, you know, you take a limo to Washington, D.C., and that's like, you know, $300 one way,
mm-hmm.
over $300 one way. And I know the prices from CHO to D.C. are, like, I look, you know, like in the 400s.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way, because I think people would clamor to get on maybe a smaller plane that gets you over to D.C. You don't have to go through TSA. You go through our TSA here, which
right.
is really great.
Right.
And then get you over there for a certain price. I think a lot of people would take advantage of that. I'm just throwing that out.
No, absolutely. And your own point. So there are some airlines that exist that we are also communicating. I'll throw one out there. There are airlines that normally fly government-subsidized routes. They're smaller. They're jets, but they live off of these enhanced air service contracts like Shenandoah. Sometimes we use that a lot. These airlines are now trying to find new opportunities. There are airlines like that we're actually speaking with that have 50-seat jet body aircraft that they've taken 20 seats out, and they've made them extremely comfortable 30-seat jets, mm-hmm. and they're trying to do a low-cost model. We wouldn't be against that. We would love to try that because, again, you get into security, and then if the challenge is who they're partnering with in the carrier. So if you're trying to get out of CHO and go to a destination and then maybe go beyond into Europe or something, someone's got to get that bag off the aircraft and move it to another airplane. And if they're not a partner with, say, an American or a Delta or United, then you got to go get your bag off baggage belt, check back into that airport, and fly again. So it's a little inconvenient. However, there are some airlines, there's about five or six airlines that are actually doing that very thing. They're trying to find communities. And to be honest with you, I mentioned American and Delta because I would love to see 75-seat first-class aircraft going to Boston. But those aircraft could work. Most of the time when you think about those airlines, though, you're thinking about leisure markets. Business travelers like to have their mileage. They like to have all the things that come with the airline. They use the credit cards, and that's a new thing for airlines these days. American and Delta are paying attention to Charlottesville and the amount of credit cards that we have from American or Delta. So it's important. They ask me that every time, and I don't know how to get that answer. So you can pull out your wallets and show me what you got. I can take a tally today. But that's actually right. That's a great question. Thank you.
I apologize if I missed this at the beginning, but did you say if you are awarded the grant,
mm-hmm.
what's the timeline for go-live?
So the challenge of this one was that we all thought it was coming around in September. So we thought we had so much time to get out and talk. We were talking already, but we weren't quite accelerating it into a matter of weeks versus a matter of months. So we were trying to quickly get together. When a grant is awarded this particular time, it'll be awarded due in May. So it'll probably take a couple months for them, maybe 2 or 3 months, June, July, August. The grant itself probably awarded in fall may not act until maybe the spring, or the spring schedule, because it'll happen quickly. I mean, once you have that in your back pocket, especially some communities will get a grant because they're just having the hardest time in the world. The DOT, the Department of Transportation, looks at them and says, let's see if they can help them out. That's different. If they're trying to get someone interested in them and they're not interested in them, that's going to take 6 months to sometimes 2 years to develop that air service. We're in a position to where we have an interest already. We're kind of flashing this whole idea of what Boston would look like. I hate to forecast, but I think it would probably be, with the grant itself, if that was what pushed us over, it might be spring before we had that service. But we're going with and without it. We're going to move forward with the idea that there is a lot of opportunity for an airline that comes from this thing to make money. We're watching how American and United are competing so hard for Chicago right now. They're doing all sorts of issues. I mean, Lynchburg just picked up Chicago because American and United are trying to compete for slots. So we're trying to find the one that doesn't win and say, hey, we've got a place to get aircraft. You know?
Yeah.
I hope I answered your question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure.
With the MAD for Chris, with all of the sort of influx and expansion with bio-life sciences and how that plays such a big part in Boston, is there other support from that industry that would help us get this across the finish line?
I can answer it. We Nikki Hastings is an all-star, right? So we met her. She's the CEO of Bio. That's my contact with her. But she's who I consider my chief advocate for Boston. So when we have these sort of challenges, in fact, this Gatsby was one of those great examples, because when we realized we only had a few weeks, and we knew that the grant required letters of support, but it also required a little bit of financial support as well to match the grant. The more you have of that, the more competitive you are. The first thing I did was call the bio in and say, through your networks, what do you think? You know, you think we have enough people, we can knock on the door and see if they want it bad enough. What I did learn, though, about bio in our community is that we have a lot more of the startups versus the two or three big companies. Like we have hundreds of people connected to bio, but they're not in very large. So I can't go to Delta and be like, I've got the three top. You know, but what I can do is say, we've got all these people that are trying to form, and there's a connection with Mass Bio as well. And I just met with some people last week. I was in Boston trying to introduce Charles Hill, and there's several from the other side. And that's the other cool thing about Boston for us, is that we feel like Boston wants to go to Charlottesville too. Even in a quick little, Courtney, I promise I'll link you with him, Meet Boston Tourism Group, they were like, how do we do it? How do we send people to your wineries, and how do we get people up here to eat lobster? And I'm like, man, I know the people. I don't know the answer, but I know the people. Hope that helps you.
Yeah, great.
Well, thank you very
much. Thank you so much.
Great. Appreciate it. Yeah, thank you.
So the next item in conjunction with that is information that we're going to discuss for a letter of support from Porcho.
Yeah, so our team drafted the letter of support. I think everyone has it. If you need a copy of it, let me know. Okay, no, you're good. So it is very similar to the letter that CABBB had written when we supported them before. I think that was 2010, yeah? Okay, thank you. And in fact, it is the same amount of money from 2010. So it doesn't have the same value necessarily that it did in 2010. I think that goes without saying. But I wasn't sure what the appetite of the board was for making a promise for getting this grant. And obviously, because Jason and his team were surprised by the timeline, we were also surprised by the timeline, and so we would usually do this in a different way, in which what show would come in, they'd make a presentation, and then we'd present you with the option of the letter, and then we would have a subsequent board meeting to decide whether or not I should sign the letter and what that would look like. We don't have that kind of time to be able to support this project, so I put in that amount of money. That we don't currently market to Boston because it is a flight market and we don't have a direct flight. We do work with Amtrak, but we don't have a huge marketing budget, and so Boston isn't something we pursue at the moment. That to say, if we had a new direct flight to Boston or a region one was coming, we would think a lot differently about it than we do right now. And probably divert funds from somewhere else that was maybe not as much of a lucrative market for us. So I'm happy to answer any questions from you all that might get us to a place where we could vote to see. I'm looking for a vote that I should sign the letter, and it can be signed as it is right now, or we can make an adjustment to it based on your feedback. Yes.
I fully support this. I think it's been great for the community. Curious though where you would pull funding back, because I know it's not like we've got a surplus of budget. Where are you looking to pull back in order to fund?
It would really be a sense of timing at this point. I mean, the DC market is not in a great place at this very moment in time, so that's where I would say if we had to do it today, it would probably be Northern Virginia, DC. But we wouldn't make that call on the fly. We would be making that call based on the advertising campaign success, how that's tracking, and also what else is going on in the economy at that moment in time.
Do you just see that based on, it, I mean, Northern Virginia is an incredibly expensive market. I mean, what you could do in another market, I do this at Monticello, but so I deal with these same issues of small budget. So is that just really off of just how expensive DC is, or you're just not seeing the performance that you're looking for?
It is expensive, but it's also that there's so much economic uncertainty in
sure.
the DC area right now that sure. when they face economic uncertainty, they're less likely to travel. And they're very familiar with us, right? And so we can move towards more of a PR approach with them to kind of I'm winging this all. Anna has no idea that I'm saying any of this, so I would also check with Anna. We could be leaning more into PR and keeping them aware of who we are as a market, as opposed to doing heavy advertising in that market and switch to maybe doing Boston from that perspective. I also talked to Virginia Tourism about their interest in Boston as a market. They think of it as a tertiary market at the moment. But I think maybe with a little convincing and maybe going for a grant, that would be something that we could do with other partners in Virginia and maybe have an on-the-ground presence and events there too. I've seen a lot of traction with being able to go into a market similar to what Jason and his team are doing to actually have conversations with people and get people excited about wanting to come here. And Virginia Tourism has done that in other markets in the past when they go after them to pursue them. They'll bring a chef, they'll bring a winemaker. And literally give them a taste of the market here so that they can get excited about it.
One more question. Would this be a full year new route or seasonally?
Oh, we're looking for an actual full active 7 days a week service.
Other questions or comments? Is there support to support this letter?
I make a motion that we support this letter.
Can I correct your language just a little bit?
Yeah,
I would just move that you authorize the chair.
And I authorize
the executive director.
Yes. So there's a motion on the floor to give direction to the executive director to sign the letter that was included in the packet. And so moving properly second, if there's no other discussion, all in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
All opposed, please say no. Thank you very much. Thank
we
you. A printed copy of that. Presentation.
We have this presentation embedded into ours now, so okay. We can distribute that, and it'll also be available on the website. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, the next item on the agenda is consent agenda is approval for the consent agenda and financial report. Did anyone have any comments or questions on that? If not, is there a motion to approve the consent agenda? Is there a move? Second?
Second.
If there's no discussion, all in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
If not, all opposed, please say no. Great. It's been approved. The next item is for board discussion. That's the executive director performance review. And Ms. Price from the county HR will discuss this. And
I'm Jessica Rice, director of HR for Albemarle County. And this is all of your awareness and or reminding CACBB staff to actually fall under county HR policies, practices, and procedures, which is why I'm here today. So I know that there was a little bit of a pre-read that was sent to you in an email last week, and that's what we're going to talk about here briefly. A couple months ago, the executive director reached out and just talked about a desire to really embrace the feedback, the guidance, and the direction of the board and all the members of it, and utilize the performance review process in order to do that. And what she was looking for was, what is the best way to set up our process so that she can actually use it, get to guide her work so that it is the most meaningful. Your current process, I'm not up here, and that's good. Okay. So under your current process, my understanding of what actually happens is everyone on the board has an opportunity to provide input, to think about how things have gone over the last year and what some of the goals are in the future, and actually write it up as an individual person on the board and provide that to her in that performance review process. And what sometimes can be really challenging, and I'll just speak very freely here, you all are very special and unique in that you are a 15-person board. And so that presents sometimes challenges where it's very unique to have this large of a board, and it's a great thing. But sometimes when we're getting individual statements and input, if I'm the person receiving it, maybe one person says something and one person says something a little bit different, and now if I'm in her shoes, I'm not sure what to do with that exactly. So one of the things that we talked about was, there's two things that we're going to look to do. The first one is actually changing the timeline of this review. So what was happening was, in following county processes, her review was required to happen before June 30th each year. Makes it really hard when you're trying to assess the entire fiscal year to include the budget oversight and the performance regarding the strategic plan when the year hasn't even closed out yet. Everybody can see why that would be a challenge? Yep. So after discussing that with her, what I said was, why don't we just change this to an August 1 date to give you guys time to be able to review all of the work from the entire year and all of the fiscal stewardship pieces and everything else. And so we talked about that. I'm able to just let you know that we've gone ahead and done that. And it's right in line with what our other departments are doing in the county anyway. The second piece was really just about getting at how can we make this most meaningful process for you and for her both, and have it provide guidance going into the next fiscal year. And so one of the things that we talked about was maybe having it where the individual board members have an opportunity to provide whatever input you feel is appropriate, and then come together as a board and sort of flesh out what the themes are necessarily and what the guidance is going forward so that it's one unanimous voice. And the way to do that would be to have closed session meetings similar to what you normally do, but really break it down so that it's thematic, and then open up a dialogue with the director and give her the ability to ask questions, to share sort of your vision and what you're seeing with her directly in that closed session meeting, and sort of work through the whole process that way. That would still take place in that June time frame, and then of course you could use July to tie up any loose ends that you might have afterwards.
Just that there would also be the opportunity for the board to have continue the closed session conversation without me. So it would start with me in the room so I could ask those clarifying questions. But then I would leave in case there were other things that you all wanted to discuss without me. So that we have, we're answering both needs on that. And this was something that Juan Diego, Brad, and Jessica and I were meeting about. So we have had board members, we've had board members in the room for this conversation. And I have the kind of the timeline of what Jessica had outlined, as well as performance evaluation that Juan Diego and Brad have also looked at, if anybody's interested in those documents. But trying to keep us on track, we hadn't opened that up to the entire board for your review, and we can do that on the other side of this particular review if the performance evaluation form wasn't working the way you wanted it to, or if the process doesn't work the way that we'd like it to, we can come back to the August meeting and make adjustments to that process.
You know, one of the other things that I would say about, you know, in consideration of making this change is that you would have county HR helping facilitate this process going forward. It's not something that you've had access to before. In the role that I would envision, either myself or my deputy, who's not here, doing would be, we would be a collection point for your individual feedback, compile it all together, actually identify themes for you and talking points for your consideration going into that closed meeting, so that you're not just walking in with a piece of paper trying to figure out what do we talk about, right? And just helping initiate it, especially the first year, maybe even being in there with you, listening and helping facilitate that conversation. So, and again, that's not something that we've done before, but it's something we should be doing to support CACBB. So, what questions do you have?
Like a vast improvement, having been part of this process in years past. Does it present any challenges with the timing going to August with compensation changes vis-a-vis the county system and the usual?
No, it shouldn't be. So if you, what I would envision is if you guys do your thing in the June meeting and there's still some loose ends in July, and then a decision is made or a vote happens in August about the pay increase, we would make that retroactive back
to July 1. The two sheets that you showed us, will we be getting those in advance?
Yeah.
Just so we can start mulling, you know, looking at everything.
Yeah. So the timeline, and I'll give you a timeline that doesn't incorporate like all the back and forth that Jessica and I were having ahead of this. But we can send the rest of this timeline. But it starts tomorrow with me doing my self-evaluation. So I'll be doing that based on this, and I can distribute that tomorrow.
So yeah, her self-evaluation will come out tomorrow. There'll be a date where I'll ask y'all to provide your individual input. That'll be compiled. You would receive it ahead of the next board meeting, maybe the same week or a week out. And then I already have it on my schedule to be at your next board meeting, and can help you guys through that process, especially as you go through it for the first time. Do you have questions?
I was just going to say, I think the thing that was most helpful for me as we were talking through this was that we were previously trying to hit that June 30th deadline, and because we only meet every 2 months, it made it really hard, and I probably can speak to that, but like, with only meeting every 2 months, it made it hard to get all of those things done and then, like, not wait another 2 months to have the opportunity to record and ask questions or get additional feedback out of the closed session. Because I think, from my perspective, only having participated by filling out the evaluation and then participating in the closed session without Courtney, it always kind of felt like we didn't have any action items coming out of the closed session to say, like, this is what we collectively agree that we need to talk through with Courtney in any particular direction, but it was like too late because we were already at, because it was always happening in the June meeting and the deadline was coming up like the next week. So I think removing that deadline probably allowed it to just flow a little bit more smoothly from what I think had been happening previously. So I know only like half of us are actually going to stop that.
But I think that not only does this address the timing issue, but I think that it also gives Courtney so much more constructive information, guidance that she can use for, you know, for improvements or which she's doing well at or whatever, just feedback. Mm-hmm. And so I think it addresses that to me even more importantly. But the timing was great when I think that you say, oh, yeah, we can work with the timeline. I was like, oh, that's great. So that was a big thing there. So, but anyway, do we need to take a vote on this?
No, I don't think we're going to be approved of it in the new bylaws that the executive director process would follow the board HR process that the county HR uses. So I think we're okay, and I think you have authority within your job description to change the timeline. The board's clearly okay with it, so I'm okay with it.
But I just want to make sure it's a fairly big change. And is there one crystal clear on this? Any questions or comments? Cool. So I think after this first time, we might see some things we might want to change or whatever. But excellent. Thank you all so much.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Yeah.
And, so the next item is the approval of the we had talked about kind of some description for the board of directors position, and we talked about this at the last meeting, and I don't think there was any modification based on feedback that we got, and there was no changes, so if there's no other changes at this point, is there a motion to approve the job description? Okay. Is there a second?
Okay.
So move second. There's a strong second there. if there's no other discussion, all in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
All opposed, please say no. Great. Thank you. Let's see, we're at the budget approval.
Yeah, and let me give an update on the budget, what has changed since I presented it at the February meeting. Our original salary expenses had been based on a 3% increase, which is what we standardly do that every year, but the county budget was just passed, I think, last week, and that was a 4% increase for county staff. So we have readjusted that based on that increase. We did take a harder look. Sorry, yeah.
It was a 2% COLA and a 2% bonus, right?
Yes.
Okay, and is that the same for these two years?
Yes.
Four?
Okay. No, thank you for the clarification.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the same budget amount, but it's not the same. Yeah, it doesn't carry forward.
Yeah.
Thank you for that clarification.
Yeah. Okay.
I appreciate that.
How many full-time do we have?
We have 11 full-time staff. We took a hard look at overtime and how we actually, how much overtime we have been working. And decided that we didn't need to have as much overtime space for next year, so we decreased that amount, and that we had budgeted for a part-time position, which had been an internship in the years past, and we haven't really been using that, so we put that down to zero. So we balanced out some of those increases with decreasing overtime and removing part-time for now. And then the FICA and Virginia retirement and the rest of insurance things are impacted based on the increase, the 2% increase, not the additional 2% bonus. We also,
Emily went down on this for educators, well, the staff too, that the staff went down. So that incorporates, the state was not charging as much for the retirement.
The state, was solely for education.
Just for education,
yeah.
Okay.
It only increased $500 for our group anyway. It's pretty small. Our general liability insurance went down $424, so we had that figure. That's based on an actual now as opposed to an estimate. So that went down, and IT support, Rory had a conversation with county IT to figure out what exactly we needed there, and we decreased that by $1,800. So the overall advertising budget went down almost $19,000 to offset the salary increases, but as you can tell, we tried to eliminate costs from other parts of the budget to balance that out as much as we could. So that's what's changed between February and now.
Yeah, can I ask just a general question, I guess, about the county? So total benefit is close to 50% of salary. Is that normal for a county?
I don't look at this level of budget detail for any county office because that's not my job. We just take this out based on what we understand. I know that because Rory this is his first budget, he has been working and he's been doing great, and we're really, really excited. But he has been double checking with county staff regularly to make sure that we're understanding calculations correctly and getting them second checked by county staff to make sure that we're not making assumptions that we're not supposed to make. Happy to take that question back to county HR and ask them that question. But we're beholden to whatever people have signed up for. So, you know, it could be that all of us have a family and we are more expensive than other county staff. So we're a very small team among the county, and I don't know if we skew in a certain way because of what we've signed up for.
I can't 100% vouch for the specific numbers. But these numbers feel familiar based on my part of it, in terms of order of magnitude. But I can't speak 100% of the accuracy of the data.
But that's something we can get the board the information.
Yeah, absolutely. We do have to pass the budget today because of the timeline. No, that's okay. I just wanted to set the expectation that I'm happy to get back to you with an answer, but we can't let that stop the budget process. Any other questions?
Other questions or comments?
Are we going through the rest of
that? No, because I presented it in detail at the February board meeting.
So question, custodial services, $12,000. So that's for this building?
Yes.
And then people are in here how often?
Sometimes daily. We have staff that work Monday through Friday, and we have staff who work Wednesday through Sunday. And we have people who are in and out of the office all the time.
So is anyone working from home?
Yes, we work from home too sometimes, depending on what our schedule is.
Okay, but the majority of the time there's always someone here in the office.
There is someone here in the office when we advertise that there's someone here in the office, but there's frequently someone here. So we are saying that there are people here from Wednesday through Sunday all of the time, and there are frequently people here on Monday and Tuesday as well.
Okay. If there's no other comments or questions.
One other question.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, just regarding the sale, I mean, that's only for, I know there's not a stipend, but for toll-free and sale, that's only for business, right? Not for any other.
The what? The same?
If you have a cell phone, the telecommunications toll free and cell, explain that.
We have a toll free number that people, visitors can call. We find that elderly folks above a certain age really still like to have the toll free number. It's something that I've said to my team, I'm not sure that we need, but they say that people need it still and that it's of use. And the cell phones are, as you can see, we have a a personal cell and we have a work cell, so that this is subject to the Freedom of Information Act. We have our work emails. We cannot use our personal phones to access county systems. And so in order to be able to have access, we need to have a phone. They're not county phones, but they are Verizon's phones that are purchased for this purpose, and then we maintain a Verizon subscription.
Thank you. Sure. Is there a motion to approve the FY 2027 budget?
Motion to approve.
Okay. Is there a second? Further discussion? All in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
All opposed, please say no.
Great.
All right, you have a budget.
All right. Thank you. That's awesome. And so we have time for the director's report, but before we do that, I'm going to ask Lauren to make a little update for everybody.
Yeah. I work in the county attorney's office, as many of you know. The county attorney's office is the counsel to this board, but in the county attorney's office, I am also the primary attorney on FOIA. And I just wanted to let you know that the county did get a FOIA from the VRLCA about the POT question that Andy Bowman came and presented on. It was an eight numerical FOIA that asked for a couple different things. Obviously, how the POT is spent with respect to the county is exclusively a county issue. Only board supervisors can decide how to spend that POT money. However, because of the information that was requested by the VRLCA, many of the documents that could have potentially been responsive to it were also CACVB documents or CACVB and Parks and Rec documents, or things that they had worked on together. And so we just wanted to make you aware of that FOIA that it came in, and that there was some CACVB time that will be billed VRLCA for the work that the CACVB staff has yet to put together some of the documents that are responsive to that request. Again, it was an 8-point FOIA. It had a lot of things, so it touched on a lot of things. Pool of documents, essentially. And because the county attorney's office is counsel to this board as well, it's documents that are responsive because from both the county or the CACVB, we're going to answer for those, and we get that. So the documents have been sent out. The county and the CACVB will get the money back for their time that they spent because you can charge for FOIAs, which we've talked about. We just wanted to make you aware that that request did come in, and it is answered, but it was responsive to both county documents and CACVB documents. This board does not get a lot of FOIAs. So we're just letting you know that it came in, and it's an industry group of all our students. So there you go. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. So we have been busy, as usual, for the past couple months. And we held our Tourism for All conference on February 24th. I'll talk about that more in a minute. We have educated ourselves fully on the CHO flight to Boston, but we're really happy to have their partnership and the excitement around that. You would have been copied on what I sent out as the operating and impact report for FY 2027 to both City Council and the Board of Supervisors. This is a detailed document that shows how we use the money and how we propose to use the money in future years. That really answers the question when we get elected officials saying, we don't know what you do with the money. You say, oh, actually, we sent you a really detailed report about this, and so that gives me the opportunity to go back to that report and remind them that it exists. We do have an aspiration to have a version of that on our website. I am not proactively putting the whole thing on the website just because then our competitors can go in and look at our budget in detail and all of our strategy, and not super interested in that. But we do plan on having a front-facing version of it, if not this year, next year. I've also been in front of City Council twice recently. I guess it wasn't in front of City Council for the update on the Downtown Mall 50th, but I was in the room. Some of our work was talked about by city staff. And then I was asked back after that to talk about our local VA 250th efforts. Happy to do that for the Board of Supervisors if they'd like. We have also finally established the Piedmont region through Virginia Tourism Corporation. That was a vote that you all took back in December. Thank you for that. We were able to talk about that at the Virginia Tourism Corporation's strategic plan unveiling on April 15th. So thank you to board members who were able to come on that day. It was really a fun event. It was great to have Virginia Tourism and the governor come and talk about the importance of tourism, as well as our mayor. And we, the Piedmont region was recognized at that event for the first time outside of our press release. It will be spending the next year building up the content around that, so the website version of what the Piedmont region looks like, building into next year what the coverage with the Virginia Travel Guide and other kinds of Virginia tourism promotions look like for the Piedmont region, which is why it's going to take a year. The part that I'm the most excited about outside of working with our regional partners is that when VTC does research in the future, it will really call out our region separate from Richmond, and I think that we'll see a lot more from that. If you read Virginia Tourism's strategic plan that they just unveiled, they did the first wave, and then they had regional breakouts that came out the second week. That was last week, I believe. And it talks about, you know, how well sports tourism is doing in Richmond, but they're making that for all of Central Virginia, which is where we are. And that's not necessarily a huge part of what we do outside of the University of Virginia. And so this will help with that in the future.
Courtney, if one wanted to find that new report and the flexible impact that came out,
I will send that out.
Great.
Thank you. Yeah. And also get to reading it again myself. I was an active participant in the process, but I haven't read the final version yet, so I need to do that. But absolutely happy to send that out to the board. The Arts Steering Committee for the Regional Arts Initiative wrapped up. I know that they have been working closely with the city. I think the county is not actively participating in that council at the moment. But I'm curious to see where it goes. I had to step out of the city council meeting when that was being recognized, and I don't think you were there either. So is there anything that you want to say about the arts council?
Yeah, so we are definitely planning to get that started back up again. There's a lot of interest in it, and so I think we're going to be getting, you know, kind of report in the next few months on what that would look like. The art industry in this community really kind of galvanized to do that in. And other than saying, I'm pretty sure we will do it, but I'm not sure what it's going to look like yet. So.
And is it just for the city? Because
AMWOL was involved in the steering committee, but I think that at the moment that there isn't as much of a formal relationship between the county and the proposed art council as there is between the city and the arts council. But we'll see how that moves forward. And we would just be working with them as a partner, like any other industry partner, like the Charlottesville L Trail or the Monticello Line Trail, where there's an intersection with tourism, happy to work with them. And also there's going to be a major part of their job that doesn't deal with tourism, and we wouldn't be working with them on that. Obviously, it's easier and something to celebrate if they can represent both jurisdictions, but that isn't always the case. But working on that, we worked with Monticello and Friends of Charlottesville Downtown on Founders Day preparation. I think there's more about the mobile museum being on the downtown mall later on in my presentation. But that was really an answer to Monticello not being able to host it on grounds, and the downtown mall really, really wanting it to come. And so that was a really wonderful partnership, and Monticello staff was on site for the entire time it was on the mobile.
It was 2 days. We literally physically could not get the semi truck in, so really appreciated the collaboration to bring to the community.
Yeah, I heard Chris parked it on the mall.
Yeah.
I think we got some Carla assistance.
No, she away.
Oh. Thank you, Claire.
It was a trick.
I bet. I'm glad it has been removed safely.
In and out.
Yeah.
No one was done.
Great. Coming soon, it's Public Service Recognition Week. We are public servants, and you all are on the board of a you're doing public service right now, so thank you very much. Our internal staff reviews will be done by June 30th. That is the deadline. I'm held accountable to you for my team. I'll be participating in the Charlottesville Regional Chamber trip to Chapel Hill at the end of May. We are assisting in final preparations for the VA 250th Downtown Mall 50th activities for July 3rd and 4th. Going into 5th, we will be downtown in force on July 3rd. We will be up on the mountaintop on July 4th. City County Love and all of the celebrations for the weekend. And then just for you all to be aware, I have not invited an industry speaker in for the June 22nd board meeting. We've had an unusual amount of board activity and discussion around different topics, which is great. But we haven't had a chance to do a deep dive into where we are with the strategic plan and what that looks like and really dive into our teams. And you haven't been able to hear from Anna and Kathy in detail on what they're doing too. So this will give us an opportunity for you all to hear more about what all of our staff does and where we're going with the strategic plan. We're also going to have a couple of updates on the strategic plan of things that we need to adjust. And so I'll be looking for you all to help approve those adjustments. We know what they are, so I'll be sending them out sooner than later so that you guys can ask questions ahead of time if you'd like. That'll help us prepare strategically for the next two fiscal years. Speaking of, I always leave those slides in just so that you can be grounded in what we are accomplishing this year. But if you haven't seen, our Noble Visitor Centers are rewrapped with the new brand. They're right outside. They are rewrapped with a design that we believe will be eye-catching. If you are walking past those vehicles and you miss them, you have not had your coffee. there you go. They're at Hawksville on Saturday. And so we're really hoping that the eye-catchingness of them will help make sure that people are engaged with them. And we also use a couple of other elements to really update them, mostly from a visibility standpoint. We are working on that rebrand rollout. We have advertising campaigns live, and we will be giving you guys more in-depth updates at the June board meeting about performance with those. We're really excited about it. We have loved how the community has been excited about our logo. I was just hoping that people would be at least neutral about it. and Brandon Rowe approached us and they're like, can we put it on the back of our t-shirts? And we're like, yeah, let's do that. Like, this is exciting that you all are excited about it enough to want to put it on your own gear. And so we'll see where that goes down the road, but really excited about the community's response to the logo. So thank you all for your leadership on that. I mentioned the Tourism for All conference. We had almost 90 industry partners in attendance. We graduated our Tourism for All cohort members, and we really gave the microphone over. I'll show on the next slide to our tourism businesses and community partners so that our industry, this is the one day a year when our industry gets together and has the ability to have those conversations, and it was really exciting. And Cho had the opportunity to do a brief presentation there, but then they also had the opportunity to be at a round table afterwards. And so that allowed our community partners to really get into depth on different topics that they needed to know more about. They haven't had the time to meet with people in person. So that was really exciting. And as you can see, the content of the program was really highly rated. And we make adjustments every year. Kathy really holds us accountable to making sure that we are being responsive to what our community is asking for and making positive improvements every year. We will also be thinking about if we should be charging for it in future years because we sold this out, but not everybody came. And if you charge a little bit for it, then people are more accountable to show up and it can offset some of our costs. So we are working with the county to figure out the right mechanism for doing that, and we'll be continuing to research that. We're not hoping to make a ton of money from it because we want it to be tourism for all, so we want people to be able to come, but something to offset some of the costs from that day.
Charging for no show.
Yeah, and that is a possibility. That's something that Virginia Tourism has been doing with their digital content session for VA1 is you get, you're charged if you don't show up. So maybe that's what we do.
Can I ask one thing?
Yes, of course.
And I would also say, as the person that manages the feedback from the survey, there was feedback from attendees saying that it is worth being charged a certain amount to attend this. So this isn't us having to do this with money. This isn't us, you know, just making a decision that the attendees have rated this, but this is a value add, and so we should be able to charge for it.
Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. These are a couple of photos, but we also took the opportunity with a bunch of partners on site to make a video about how our industry feels about the CACVB and the work that we're doing here, so I'm going to share that with you.
Charlottesville is a beautiful place. The beautiful thing about tourism is it's bringing different people into this area every single day.
I think that tourism really enhances not only the Charlottesville Albemarle community, but our local economy by sharing with people what makes Charlottesville and Albemarle County so special.
Tourism is an important part of the economic growth to bring people together.
Tourism is everything.
So tourism supports our community, seeing that the work of the Charlottesville Albemarle Commission and Visitors Bureau by bringing business to the area. They provide jobs, which helps us within our workforce. They help to preserve our history. We have a lot to offer in this great community of ours in Charlottesville and Albemarle, and the work that the Visitors Bureau does to help promote tourism encompasses all of it.
Today was just amazing. I felt the energy from the get-go, wide range of folks in the room from all sectors of the tourism state. I felt it today. People want to get this right. They want to continue to celebrate all the goodness that this region represents. So it all starts with people, and I think you all should be proud of to pray to you. And now I'm just going to keep going.
Working with the ACDD has been amazing. They are so keen on connecting with local partners. So one thing that has really strengthened me working for our local historical society is being able to connect with other community partners that maybe I haven't met yet or doing similar work. The CACVB staff is always thinking about all of their different partners and how they might be able to or be interested in working together. So being able to help us make those connections has really been invaluable. Our partnerships are great, and they're also kind and want to see local businesses thrive. The CACVB has been instrumental in helping us grow our connection to the hospitality and tourism industry. In Albemarle County, we are always looking for ways that we can get hands-on experiences for our students and have authentic mentorship, community connections, and things like that. And the CACVB has been instrumental in doing that. Hosting job fairs together. We've also hosted a panel for guest speakers, and we did a panel that was focused on young professionals.
We've designed a program where they're helping us design our hospitality and tourism program. It's also aligned with what the state is requiring us to teach, but also opens the opportunities for my students, you know, for them to be able to speak up on the panel today, for them to have some job options, for them to have opportunities as well as to connect them with outside markets. Well, one of the greatest benefits of Tourism for All, not only was getting to present out and about and kind of how we birthed out of Charlottesville and why we're important, but for us, it's also been really great to meet with community partners who want to help us do what we do. There's always a resource, and particularly for us as a grassroots, locally kind of focused organization, it's really important and not only life-changing, but in a lot of cases, life-saving for us to have those connections where we have powerful, efficient events that make people want to come here to Charlottesville to celebrate who they are.
I really enjoy working with the CACVB. They've invited us to speak at the tourism conference so that emergency management can have kind of a place to sort of talk and speak with some of the issues and engaging with people. The biggest part of emergency management is building relationships, and the CACVB do get that.
Reading up the winter songs that we read on that, we bring some of the tourism staff, they asked if they could be grown. I said, you know, I'm always wanting to know, and help that if they're full, because we often need to house
Sticking through
with
it.
Yeah, that's great. Those aerial, I guess with the drone, they're really nice.
We're hoping to get people excited about
it.
We're unveiling that video at National Travel and Tourism Week. Is that right?
Sure, yeah.
Sure.
Sorry. Yeah, we'll behave. I'm trying to get her to make me a video.
Internal marketing. Great for next year. We put the visitor guides out here as a friendly reminder that we have redone our visitor guide. We plan on having this piece for 2 years to decrease on print costs and how much we are running print. It is a lot smaller of a piece than it used to be because it has a lot of QR codes on it, and those QR codes go to web pages that we can update regularly, so it can be a less of a seasonal piece and more of a standard piece, and can have a longer shelf life, which is wonderful for us. But also because it came out of a Drive Tourism grant from Virginia Tourism Corporation that has really helped be a model and was one of our highest, if not our highest rated panel. I don't remember which one is the highest rated panel. Yeah. For our tourism partners, really hearing about our partners' experience with Houston, because the young man in this photo really helped them think about visitor services and how to run their businesses in a more successful way. And it was a really beautiful week to have them here and host them with our partners, but also a beautiful panel for other people to hear about. We're really excited about that. Our Founding Footprints podcast keeps going full throttle. We're really excited about that still. We've included a lot of our information here. We talked about the Mobile Museum being downtown, but it also will be back at Highland in the county for the Albemarle County Fair. It was there last year, did really well last year. We're hopeful that that will be the case again this year and hopefully not be surrounded by cows at any point in time. The cows got loose last year. Shut down the museum for a little while lately. Rally cows. Just proving how urban and rural the world is. Our crisis communications plan, Athena's not in the room today, but she really gave us a lot of great feedback, and we've been able to make some adjustments to it. We got to try it out for Winter Storm Fern, see what was working and wasn't working, or what we needed to add in, really. And the hotels that they were talking about, video tracking availability of hotels was something we were actively doing throughout that weekend that had a huge impact and hadn't been something we had done before. So we're really excited about that, and then we'll also put this plan into our partner communication toolkit so that our partners will be able to use the elements of the plan that are useful for them. We also have been in touch really closely with the city and county about their crisis communication.
transportation operations. The city of Charlottesville debuted a geofencing alert system for TomTom Festival, so basically for the footprint of the downtown mall. Since TomTom just ended, we haven't asked them if anybody took them up on it, but it's great to see that we're being more proactive in the crisis space because visitors don't sign up for community alerts. It's something that we've had our eye on for a long time to go, how do we serve visitors in when there is a crisis and get in front of them. So we're making some really good progress there. Great. We've also been working with the city and the Ribana Trail Foundation and Ribana River Company to develop guidance for visitors along the Ribana Trail. We are continuing to support the Downtown Mall 50th, and we'll be doing lantern kits at our mobile visitor center. So stop by, engage with our travel specialist, Ethan and Rami, come make a lantern, and then walk in the parade. It'll be really fun. We have, for our hotel occupancy rates, we are seeing an uptick in occupancy and a little bit of a downtick in average daily rates. So there's some leveling off in how we are, how our hotels are choosing to price themselves to lean more towards occupancy than they had the past couple of years. It's putting us right about in the middle of revenue per available room. I think we have been having I think March ended up being a little bit better than anticipated, maybe. Mm-hmm. But Kelly and Brianna, do you want to say anything about how things are trending right now or anything, any trends you're seeing?
Yeah, we're running like 90% occupancy for March and April. So.
Cool. All right. Marketing and PR. We hosted the BPC's global marketing team for a fam trip, including a lot of our partners, back in March. And we are coordinating video and photo coverage for the tourism fall conference that you saw. We have released several press releases. This isn't something we had been doing a lot of in the past. We're seeing a lot of great local pickup from that, which you'll see later in the presentation, but really trying to raise awareness in our local community about the role that we play here. And that BPC event with the governor was a great opportunity to do that. We're really grateful that they chose our community. And I think that's the gist of that slide. I'm going to keep going. And also doing messaging around all of that. We have, we're working on the scope of work for the website redesign, which was approved in the strategic plan process for next fiscal year. So we'll be getting started on that as of July 1st. To help offset those costs, we are hopeful that we will be successful in getting Virginia Tourism Corporation marketing leverage grants for that. The BPC logo is always in the footer of our website, so we don't really have to do a whole lot differently in order to be supportive there. But those grants are very, very competitive. We haven't gone for many marketing leverage grants. We usually go for the DMO-only grant, Destination Marketing Organization, that's who we are. But the possibility for funding is larger with the marketing leverage grant. So we're going for it this time, fingers crossed. And we are, Anna participated in the global marketing DMO meeting for Virginia Tourism. We're just keeping an eye on international. We are not currently investing in international just because of the way that things are at the moment. And so we want to know what's going on. We want to know what the opportunity is so that we are ready if there is a good one for us. But we are not currently pursuing international at this time. Our social media highlights, our team has really been focusing on increasing engagement and interactions, and we're seeing a lot of positivity around that, with overall engagement up 35% year over year. That's huge. I mean, that's a lot of engagement, especially in a really noisy, crowded, AI-generated space. We are, other than maybe prettying up a picture, which I don't think we do very often anyway, we are not leaning into AI in a big way for how we are doing content creation. The ethics behind that are really murky, and we're going to err on the side of just no.
in case anybody asks that question. But that does mean that we have to watch what's happening really, really closely to make sure that the content that we're creating is well received. And we are seeing a lot of our partners lean into that space because they're not able to take photos or things like that. So we're talking internally about how we can really support our partners in having photos, maybe doing photo shoots on site to help them with their organic content so that they're not having to lean so much into AI. And that will help us all really lift Thank you.
Gotta work on your Pinterest game.
Yeah, we don't.
Are there trends here, Amy, that you're seeing people engage with?
So we do go into like post engagement later slide to sort of talk about sort of what people are engaging with most. We do see a lot of engagement where we're telling people to sort of plan ahead. Our save the date post had a lot of engagement. We're testing different stuff where we're asking people to comment certain words, to get guides and links to our blog posts, which drives people to our website, which we love. Those get a lot of good engagement because we're giving somebody a very specific prompt and call to action. But food always performs well. Food imagery always performs well for us. And then when we can be silly, it's been performing very well for us. So we are grateful. Partners like Monticello have leaned into some fun social media silliness a little bit. Sorry, Jen, if I'm putting you on the spot. But it's been really fun to sort of embrace history and things like that with a more fun lens, and that's been really performing well for us.
And then we are seeing an increase year over year in website views. It is harder and harder to keep people's attention, but also we have a lot of bots crawling the site that don't necessarily help with the time on site. However, I will say that we do see that AI is crawling our site and then using our site as a place to reference, which means that we have a lot of valuable content on the website. It also means that we don't see the page views from when AI is responding to the request directly. So we know that they're coming to our site to get the information, but then delivering it through Microsoft Copilot or ChatGPT. This is happening to everybody in the marketing space. You can see a number of people nodding around the table. But we are a primary source of information still, which is a really good thing. And hopefully it will somehow be able to capture more of that moving forward and get the credit for it, which is a lot of the problem with AI.
Just a random question. When it serves up those results, when you get your like sources, does it specify whether it was like an organic Google search versus like a AI Google prompt?
So it doesn't specify AI yet. We have seen an increase in traffic from Ashland, Virginia, and from China and from other parts. So there's also some Singapore traffic that has gone up. So that number would indicate, it just indicates data centers. That's where we're seeing it. It hasn't broken it down specifically into bots versus non-bots. Which makes sense. And Google knows about it and is trying to address it within our analytics. I mean, they say when you log into analytics, it says, we know this is an issue. We're working on ways to sort of separate and divide that up. It will mean that our overall website views will go down significantly. And so that's something that we're keeping an eye on. But to Courtney's point, the flip side of that coin is we are cited in the Gemini results always for basically anything you could search about Charlottesville, which is in Omaha County, which is really good for now. And then we joke about when we're going to have to pay for that down the road.
Mm-hmm. And that makes it all the more important that we're continuing to have those things that can be referenced. Because until this is really easy for attribution, all we can really do is continue to add more content to the website, get those, so then when AI crawls it, when these bots crawl it, it's pulling back, so then you hope you get that referral traffic from it. But, I mean, this is just the game right now, and it's making everybody's numbers look rough, because this is how people have justified budgets, is how much traffic your paid traffic are bringing, but this is where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
We also
be a huge opportunity for continuing to focus on PR, because what is also happening is earned media is generating a lot of the content that is then pulled by bots, and then we put our earned media results on our site and pulled it. So
does everybody know what she means by it when she says PR and when she says earned media?
Yeah, it's like story, like stories.
Like going out and pitching,
yeah,
right? All of these newspapers, including the Daily Progress, you can look at them as an example. Those newsrooms have been gutting, right?
Yeah.
And so they don't have people to send out. And so you have to go out and pitch them and make it easy for them, right? Like not only just telling them about stuff, anticipating they can't even send somebody out, so how can you give them photos and videos so they can do coverage without even sending a staffer out?
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea is that if we can't get them to come cover it, we can give them, like, you know, what it is. This makes influencers all the more important. And that's kind of always a shifting market because they charge a lot sometimes for dubious results. But earned media, in the absence of bigger budgets, could see it to be like Monticello, we just don't have the kind of money that, like, Visit Asheville has. And so going out and, like, singing for your supper on media coverage is just a really critical part of the game.
And we're investing next year and some this year still in photos and video so that we have those assets ready to go. Like when supporting America, it is expensive, but it's worth it when we are able to answer that. So making sure we have seasonal coverage for everything so that we're ready to go is a goal for us.
Well, and also with the original content, so CLE this year and another local government got hit with a lawsuit because they used a picture of like a piece of bread for like a festival and it had a copyright. They're using these AI bots to like comb websites for like incorrectly copyright images, and they're suing.
While AI is infringing.
Correct.
We don't even use AI for the effort. We tried it once and it just removed a random stop from a map, and so we said, yeah, we're not going to do that.
Thank you for that
clarification.
Just
thought
I'd put it out there.
Lauren, there is a cost of not using original content, too.
Cool. Chris, you were about to say something at some point. All right, so these are just some website highlights of what's been doing well. Our visitors just really want to eat, man.
They
just want to eat and drink.
Especially eat.
Yep, and they want to do stuff. And so the event listings always perform really well. And that's something that our destination development manager spent a lot of time doing, is telling our partners to please put your events on our website so that we can promote them ahead of time, because that's what our people are looking for. And obviously they are looking for things like where to stay, which is super important. But they really get excited about all the things that they have to do here.
Organization or a restaurant or hotel if they're having a special event or just even regular events, they can tie into you. Is there a cost there, or they can just tie into you? Wow.
Yep. So if it's open to and of interest to visitors, they can put it on our website. And they need a listing in order to do that. And the listing is not hard to create. And all of the instructions on how to set up a listing and how to put an event listing on that's related to that are on our website. So very easy. And with a huge amount of return for the top referral for most, or a lot of our partners. I won't say most because I don't know that for sure, but I know a lot of our partners were the top referral site for them, which is great. That's the purpose. We want people to come to our website and then go explore our partner's website. Some PR highlights. I mean, I love the local news coverage, and that's super important, but I mean, Vogue, come on. That's also exciting. So we're really excited to have a nice balance there. And we wanted to share one of our advertising
What was Vogue's idea? You can come here or believe.
Yeah, it was great.
Very similar.
Yeah. You know,
anything specific?
It was luxury. So Keswick Hall was on there, and other sort of the wine trail made an appearance. But luxury spring break last minute booking. And luxury is where we're seeing the bulk of travel interest at the moment. Again, that's
an economy issue, but we lean in where we can, and you know, we want everyone to be able to afford to come here and give them an experience. But if luxury is the trend, we're also going to make sure that people know that you can get that here. Cool. And then we're going to share. This is a much, much shorter video for an advertising spot that we have. And so some of this is some older video content, and this is the kind of thing that we are really looking forward to being able to update with more robust content with more video assets.
The shot just before this, it said big letters, visit Charlottesville, and then teeny weeny and Albemarle County. Can we, because if you want, you want wine, well, you gotta have good food. But wine, I mean that.
In the video?
In the video, yeah. The shot just before this one. To hear it's even.
So I will have to look at it in more detail in the future. But we also have a split second. And so we are going to do the best that we can to get the attention of the visitor and then get their.
No, I understand. It's just that for future, either here or future thinking, you know.
Cool. Our sales update. We have been busy as always. Teresa hanging out with her bud. out and about. We assisted with or distributed 29 requests for proposals. I can remember when that was like 5, and this continues to pick up. It's really exciting to see that Teresa is the same person that she was before, and so we are gonna give her some more support so that she's able to keep up with all this. This is great to see this level of demand. She's also been at a number of different trade shows that you can see here. Williamsburg has been going hard on hosting stuff. I think
I'm still down there 5 more times this year.
Teresa has a second home in Williamsburg now. She can tell you like each and every bed in every hotel.
Where I found my buddies.
at any rate, it's great to have them so close by because then we're able to participate in things that we haven't always been able to participate in. And the Select Travel Conference is one of those things that is a little bit more of a high-end. It was the Heritage Club in Virginia Beach, which is a new show for us that has a higher-end clientele than we have typically gone after. And so that has been a great opportunity because they're nearby and it wasn't super expensive for us to be able to get to that group. So we regularly go to a number of different shows, but we also look at the show ecosystem and say, hey, you know, so-and-so's nearby, that's not a lot of cost for us to get there. How can we make use of that? And we had a great meeting that I kind of glossed over earlier with our tourism industry, one of our Destination 20 plus 45 events. We've been doing these every other month or so, invite them in to learn a little bit more about what we do. And then we held a meeting directly after with the directors of sales from the hotels and went through what we've been doing in the trade show space to get their feedback in real time about how we can make that strategy even more robust. So really excited to see where that goes in the future. And then we've had a number of different partner meetings and visits. A lot of folks are wanting to get into the group tourism space, and so trying to get them ready is a role that Teresa plays. And so a number of these businesses reached out and said, hey, how do we host groups? Can you tell us how? And so she and often our destination development managers come on site and they give real-time feedback on things that they can do to host groups and creative solutions for how we can have more for groups to offer here, which is fantastic. Visitor services, we are rocking and rolling on our mobile visitor centers. They were out for Founders Day weekend. They were at the ABA students event. They were at the Fox Field Races. They'll be heading out to Pro Day for the Arts and Crafts Festival. We'll be doing 2 days at the Arts and Crafts Festival in Pro Day. I think that's for the first time.
We did, I think, 2 days in the fall, but it's always a huge return to be out there, particularly in that area of the county, to be able to meet visitors there and get them to spend more money in the fall.
Darn right. So glad to have them back out on the streets. We all got tattoos because we love the new logo so much. So here's a shot of all of our new tattoos. See, not really. we've been giving away a lot of brochures and visitor guides. I had a board member ask a question about if we're pushing our digital guide, and we are pushing our digital guide to try and be more eco-friendly, and so that is something that we want to lean into more, but also we still see a demand for people who walk up and say, hey, I don't really know what I want to do here, and so this piece that we have out is in welcome centers throughout the state, and is a piece that people request ahead of time frequently as an inspiration for what they should be doing here. This was an April Fool's post, which was really fun. It's just leaning into kind of unveiling our new brand via social media, but in a silly way, which was fun for everybody and for our partners. We talked earlier about the mobile visitor center rewrap, and really leaning into our new logo. And so that is out there on the street, and we have been working with our travel specialists to give them opportunities to go out and learn and grow, and so that they can bring more of their expertise and ideas back to us. For destination development, you heard from one of our friends with ACPS that we have been working really closely with them on workforce development. ACE Academy is something that the county has invested pretty heavily in, and so we'll be going to the Saber Studios. The high schoolers are graduating and they're doing a little dinner, and so that's where Kathy and I will be on Friday night. So it's been really great to see their journey and hopefully see more of those kids want to enter into the hospitality and tourism space. Outdoor recreation stewardship, we participate in a number of ways. And the Piedmont Mobility Alliance is one of them. It was the Mobility Summit where the first gentleman came and spoke, and we had a number of other dignitaries who came to that and spoke, and was great for folks to get together. Zach, do you have anything you want to talk about in that area? Not just all of you, but maybe.
That was my first experience with it too. I mean, I'm familiar with some of the constituents with that. Especially Peter with the Piedmont Environmental Council, but it was fun to be a part of that. Some great conversations, some really good projects coming. I made a good connection with the Green Ops Trail, so if some folks know about. But yeah, I guess the takeaway from that is there are a lot of folks engaged and excited about trails development, blue way development, access to outdoor spaces. So the trick is herding all the cats and getting them to coordinate and move them in certain directions. But yeah,
great. And along that vein, we were asked by Parks and Recreation to provide them a letter of support for a trail extension. So we have provided that. So hopefully we'll have even more trail to be able to promote sooner than later. And then we have been, our destination development team has been working really closely with our marketing folks on a number of different activities and blog posts specifically, really trying to celebrate some restaurants who've been around a little bit longer. It's really easy to promote new restaurants and folks really get excited about that, but we also want to celebrate the folks who have stuck it out. The restaurant industry is hard. So we really want to be able to give those folks some love and give them some special attention. And so that's something that our two teams have been working on together. Also making sure that we are getting more and more of our partners engaged with us through our customer relationship management system, which I know is maybe not as sexy as some of the other things we do, but it's a huge internal communication tool for us that's connected to our website, which is really helpful. And here are some photos of our team out and about. Our ambassador training, we trained the downtown ambassadors back in February, so glad to have them, have more information about the region that gives the folks who are working on the downtown mall information about the county specifically and kind of what's outside of the greater downtown footprint so that as visitors and residents want to move around, they know where all of the things are that they can find. The middle photo is of the Mobility Summit, and then Kathy spoke at the Virginia Association of Museums panel on accessibility. And we will be hosting that conference next year at the Virginia Guest House, which will be really exciting and a great opportunity for our local partners to be able to talk about the museum world. So we're excited about that. And that is all I have. Any questions for me?
Saturday, Bea and I will be at the Toastmasters having their big conference here, so I guess we have to be sure to speak correctly.
I'm ready. I've got a surprise coming up. Yeah.
So, public comment. Anyone like to speak in public?
The public has no comment.
Okay. Oh, so the next one is board announcement. I kind of just gave one. Are there other board announcements?
We have a big event at Monticello on Saturday called Pen to Paper. It's a celebration of the Declaration based largely on the edited volume that we are publishing, followed by a performance of the Jefferson Adams play. Pay for $10. Maybe you'll see there. And honestly, if you haven't visited Monticello in a while, this is kind of the year. Please don't forget that all the people that come to Monticello stay in hotels, eat in restaurants. And so the more people that we bring to Monticello, the rising tide and need lifts all boats. So appreciate any help that you guys can provide.
What time is that again?
The event starts at 3. The the play, you can buy a ticket to both for a combined rate, or you can just buy one or the other if you just want to come to the play. Those are intended to be priced to be accessible, but to the point about if you charge a little bit of something, you see a lower attrition rate. So I get the point is well taken for tourism for all, that a very small amount can help with people showing up.
Yeah.
Courtney, is there a sign with a QR code for the digital version?
Yeah.
I
was looking for
help. Are there any available? Well, the
post. A weak physical sign in front of the Mobile Visitor Center also has a QR code that leads to our website where you can download. It's available on the homepage of visitcharlottesville.org, so it's still there. But if you want one,
we'll make you one.
100%. Happy to. Thank you. Sorry, Danny.
That's okay.
Other board announcements?
Since Athena's not here, I'll say this for the rest of the Vineyard community. If y'all weren't tracking, everybody got hit pretty hard with the frost last week, and I think that's going to cover a lot of the state. I have heard figures as high as 90% loss. Wow. So this year's fruit, not, and there were places that didn't get hit that badly. There were places that got hit really badly. Just be thinking about them because a lot of their crop for this year is going to be trash. So it's kind of a bummer for that group right now.
I didn't think it was that late necessarily.
I think it was also because it got so warm early and then flood break happened, and it's all about where both of those things happen. But yeah, I was talking to a couple of them.
Degrees and
things. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
thank you for
not
that.
Ideal.
Important. Yeah. And the state is doing outreach to the vineyards to see what that impact looks like. So hopefully we'll be able to know. But go out and buy local wine.
the bus report.
Any other comments? If not, can I get a motion to adjourn, please?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, please say no. Thank you all so much. Great, a lot of information. Thank you all.